I thank everybody once again for being out this afternoon. I'll be continuing with our 1 Corinthians study, the last chapter, chapter 16. I'll be covering the first 12 verses. This passage I'll cover won't be a very long lesson. I believe a lot of this is pretty straightforward, but we'll go through it and try to dig in a little bit and see what all's going on here with Paul and his letter, just closing up this letter to the Corinthians. So chapter 16, starting with verse 1. There it reads, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I do also. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time." And beginning the verses, we see Paul mentioning something that apparently the Corinthian brethren hadn't had much of an issue with. In the earlier chapters, there's a lot of issues that he discussed with them that they were having problems with or weren't doing correctly. But here, when it mentions now concerning the collection, it seems as if it's something they've discussed before, something they're aware of and they are following at this time. So it's something that they are aware of, and we don't see that they're doing anything incorrect in this matter. And the word collection here can be translated to mean contribution or a collection of money. And Paul instructs the Corinthian brethren that just as the Lord's Supper, the collection, is to be taken on the first day of the week. And at the beginning here says that it will be for the saints. And this word means the blameless or sacred or consecrated. So this collection is for those who are the members of the body of Christ. Now apparently they've been taking collection according to this, but doesn't mean that here it says that this is going to be for the, it's not that it's a different collection they've been having, it's just that he has a specific need he's looking to use it for. That's to help the saints in Jerusalem. And this kind of gives us an idea of something that we are allowed to use the collection for. You know, the Bible speaks of giving, you know, money to the poor and the needy, but this is meant as something that's to be for us as individuals. And the contribution was not meant to be, you know, meant to build gymnasiums or some of these other things people do with it. And I read a quote by a Mr. Mike Willis on this, and he said, "The church was never designed to be a hospital or an orphan home. Its mission is primarily evangelistic in nature. Its benevolent charge was for those who had already become Christians. Benevolence was not used to win people to Christ. Instead, benevolence was used to relieve the sufferings of those who had already been won to Christ." Anytime that we at Springer Row, we use the collection for anything, it's preceded by a meeting of the brethren, which we sometimes term as men's meetings. And I would encourage any male member who would like to be a part of those, because we must make sure that what we decide to use the Lord's money for is something that we should use it for. And we should be very transparent in that as we are. We see that it's not merely a suggestion to them that they should give this money and that should be used for the saints. He said, "I've ordered Galatia, so also he's ordering them." So it's an order. It's not just a suggestion. It's something that the money is to be taken up for and something the money should be used for to help the needy saints. And Paul makes it very easy for us to understand the matter of the collection. We know that we're supposed to give on the first day of the week. And this term and the wording used here, I understand it can be read as first day of each week. Paul tells us also who is to give. He reads, "Let every one of you, not just those who have great possessions or who are deemed rich, or not those who are don't have much. Everyone is supposed to give. Paul tells us how we're supposed to give. It says we're to lay by him in store. And Thayer defines the wording as to lay aside money. And the word store here signifying is something we're to do together, to heap up or to store in a treasury. Then Paul says, as God has prospered him. And this word, this meaning, as one gains. We as Christians are to store aside a portion of our money that we have gained, that we've been blessed with by God, aside to this, for this collection. There's no set amount, there's no percentage that we're given, but we're each to give as we've been prospered. Therefore, it stands to reason, the more you prosper, the more you should lay by in store. So if you were, or if I were to get a bonus at work, and at that time I've prospered more, then my contribution should be more, for I've, at that time I've been prospering even more. But once again, like I said, we're not given a specific amount, but Paul has a few more words on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now in this passage, Paul mentions to do so that there will be no gatherings when he came to them, but what he's teaching is that we as Christians are always to be prepared to help those of God's people, those who are in need. We're to, like we said, to store up as we purpose in our hearts, so that whenever the need arises, that maybe need to financially support someone who's a saint that needs help, that we are ready and able to do so. Next, Paul states that when he arrives, he will send the ones the congregation has chosen to deliver their financial aid. And they apparently would have informed Paul, possibly in form of a letter. And he then says that if it is necessary, that he may accompany them, that he will do so if they choose. And this is not if they decide that it's a large enough amount of money, they need more muscle to send along with the aid to Jerusalem, the gift. It's how I understand it is if Jerusalem needed Paul's help, if they needed him to be there to help them, that he would go. And he could have just as much said, you know, I will take the money for you. But he says, if I need to go, then they will go with me. And this, I believe, shows us how we're to be transparent with what we do with the contribution. And also, Paul's showing how it's important to avoid even the mere suspicion of mishandling of anything, but particularly the church's money. He doesn't want anyone to think that he may do something that was be done of evil. So he, not only is just not one brother in the congregation sins, but two, and that would go along with him if he went. Next, in verse 5, Paul confirms again that he will be visiting the brethren at Corinth once he has visited Macedonia, which is present-day Greece. Paul says that he may be able to stay with them and possibly even stay through the winter, and do so that after winter they may send him wherever they may see necessary that he would go. Paul tells them that he will stay in Ephesus, which is where this letter is written from, until Pentecost. And he would do this so that he would be able to spend more time with them later instead of coming now. We see that all Paul's plans could be altered depending on the needs that may arise. So at the end of this verse he adds, if the Lord permit, telling them that these are his desires, what he has planned to do, but it is subject to change if the work causes him to do something else. He says here there's a great effective door that's been opened to him. I mean, there's a great opportunity to speak the gospel here. He has an opportunity to speak maybe to some who hadn't had a chance to speak to before, or some have become willing to listen that hadn't before. He said there's many adversaries. So as I understand it, he wants to stay and be able to teach the gospel, because if he doesn't, there may be others who will step in his place and may teach or say things that are not true and correct, and he wants to stay for whatever the door is that's open. He wants to stay there to make sure he takes full advantage of this time. And this goes to show, if there's any time there are trials or things that come up to us or people who question certain things, or any time we have an opportunity to talk to others, that we shouldn't put that off on somebody else or hope it gets done by somebody, or you may can do it later. If we do have a small window that we may be given with a friend or family member or a brother or sister in Christ, we need to take full advantage of that, because if we don't, then eventually the devil will take the opportunity and we may never get that time back. Now, at this point, you may remember in Acts chapter 19, that says Timothy was sent from Ephesus to Macedonia with Erastus. And then earlier in this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we read that Paul believed Timothy would be going to them. And at this point here at the end of 1 Corinthians, it seems that Paul is, he believes Timothy will be there, but it's unclear whether he for sure will be there or not. But he says if he is to be there, they should treat him well. And this, he may be saying this because of the prejudice of the congregation that's been known there, or maybe because of Timothy's his age and inexperience, that he may try to emphasize this. Paul says they should treat him well, that he and that he does the work of the Lord just as he does. Paul says that no one should despise him, this meaning that they should not treat him with disrespect. And then to send him along with the brethren, perhaps their brethren would be carrying the letters of the those that would be delivering the gift as they came to Paul. And in the final verse, we would see that Paul is saying, now concerning our brother Apollos, once again the wording indicates there's probably a previous letter that had requested Apollos to come there. It seems that Paul was willing and desired that Apollos would go, but Apollos seemed it found it in his right to say that he didn't want to for whatever reason it may be. In the beginning of chapters, you recall that Apollos was one of the ones that they were saying they may have been following after, so maybe Apollos decided not to go this time for reasons around that, or could be something else entirely. But for whatever reason, Apollos had declined the opportunity to go at this time, but Paul says that he will come at his next available time. And that's the conclusion of my thoughts this afternoon. I know that was pretty short. Like I said, I think a lot of that is fairly easy to understand. We never want to close the service out, though, without offering the invitation. If you are someone who has not obeyed the gospel, then you invited to do so at this time. If we've heard the word, if you believe it, you would repent your sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you are a child of God and you've fallen astray, you may request the prayers of the congregation as we stand and as we sing.